I don't and know then what's
tweets.
Happening.
Let's talk about tweets. He's
tweets,
secretary.
The tweaker tweet?
Yeah, tweets, the tweetiest, the tweeter-tary that doesn't work, but yeah.
Tweets, the twinkiest tweet.
Tweet tweaker. With the, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Storm, the savory superhero.
Yes, I don't know what's happening anymore.
So now you've got to come up with, using only the letter C, a bunch of things to describe you. Cool. Yeah, cores would be.
Core carelessly crows. I don't know.
Hey, that actually was pretty good. That was pretty good. I give you props for that, Core. That was. So what is this, like episode 562 now or something?
No, we are not there yet. We have not met. We have not yet matched that of Yeah Dude. That's one of the longest running podcasts on the internet, and I love it.
Yeah, dude.
Yep.
Well, I suppose we could just start podcasting, you know, twice a day, every day, and catch up real quick.
Holy shit, no thank you.
Holy shit, no.
Coming soon, 5-minute tidbits for 3 hours straight.
We would get... We would run out of ideas of motivation pretty fast. The blind raven cannon, but it's a thing.
That's right. It's cannon. A thing. And,
yeah.
And that's what thing. Counts to be on the show.
It's a cannon that shoots blind ravens at people.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Damn, Cor, I knew you were interesting when it comes to how you treated your offspring, but, you know, using them as cannon fodder? My goodness.
I do not so have the offspring.
And I...
Because I keep using them as cannon fodder.
Ta-da!
Well, why is all of Core's offspring that doesn't have a long lifespan, like we learned, why are they all blind?
Why are all my offspring blind?
Yeah.
Because once they lay their eyes upon their father, they can't help but lose their eyesight.
Rude. No, I need glasses. And this is brought to you by Finath, who visited Salt Lake City a couple weeks ago. Well, probably more.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. And yeah, so he was pointing out, like, he and Guinevere Griffin were, like, pointing out things, like, all across the valley. We'd hiked up to this, like, you know, peak of a mountain. We were just kind of overlooking the valley of Salt Lake City. And they were talking about all these buildings that they could see in the distance. I'm like, they all look like blurs. I need glasses. Turns out I can't read more than 500 feet in front of me.
When was the last time you got your eyes checked?
Probably 2010.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
I have pretty much perfect eyes. That's
Shut
pretty
up,
good.
I do too.
I should be a falcon. I should be a falcon or something, or an eagle.
I maintain the fact that I have perfect eyesight, and I will hold to that.
You can't believe in it.
In your mind, I'm convinced you have the best eyes of anyone you know. I'm sure of it.
Oh, thank you.
You're very
right now.
So, guys,
yes.
What are you drinking today? Let's start with that before we go into our topic.
I'm drinking my usual coffee.
Mexican Coke, mother cluckers.
What is Mexican Coke?
It's not black tar heroin.
It's Coca-Cola, made in Mexico, with actual real ingredients.
Yeah,
unlike
cane sugar
chemically,
instead of the
artificial
stuff. The chemically engineered American shit.
Is that a code word for crystal meth?
No, it's actual.
If it was
Coca-Cola.
A code word for anything, it would be a code word for cocaine.
That's
it's a code word.
That's
for
easy.
Fleeks. It's a code word for Coca-Cola. I know it's an amazing concept.
But
if it would be
blown right now, man.
If you would use Coca-Cola as a code word for coke, that's too easy. The FBI would bust you right away. Anyways, I got a Wolf's Craft. That's a very furry beer because it has a wolf icon, and it's the super lager from that brewery, and it's local, and it's the taste decent.
They're good.
No IPA this time.
No IPA this time. Okay. Yeah, okay, please tell me, what on earth is a non-alcoholic IPA? That just sounds like you're just being self-mutilating right there.
It's a beverage that's had all the fun taken out of it, is what it is.
Apparently.
It has no alcohol, but it has, like, alcohol-free IPA, but it tasted amazing, really. It was...
I don't know.
It has all. It has all good of an IPA, but nothing bad. I don't know how to explain it. It was pretty much. It was good from the. It had a good taste. That's the only thing I can say. You have to try it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't believe you for a second.
I have yet to meet an IPA that doesn't cause my taste buds to revolt.
I'm actually with Storm on this one.
Yeah, so I don't even know how
and
people
I like
can
beer.
Like...
I like lots of, well, I liked. But I like beer. It's just, IPAs are just too much of an assault to the taste buds.
Then, what's your opinion on, like, double and triple IPAs? I don't even know how it's possible to double and triple something
had one double IPA before. It was, again, just, it was self-torture. It's just mutilation of the taste buds. That's all it is.
Well, I guess you have to try the right one. Because there's bad IPAs where people just trying to stuff as much hop in it as possible, and then there's IPA that's really like crafted with love and where you can they really know what they did. They use the right amount of different kinds of hop, and then you have a beer that tastes like tangerine with. Citron and something, and but in a very good way, you know.
Yeah, like a little bit of coriander and some stuff, and like some citrus. That's delicious in most beers, but it does not help IPAs.
Well, you had the wrong IPAs. I'm convinced about that.
I've had quite a few
just
IPAs.
Don't like, or you just don't
it
like
just
flavor.
Depends. I think it just depends on what your taste in alcohol really is, because some people absolutely hate anything sweetened beer. I personally can't drink a beer unless it at least is semi-sweet, because that's just the way I am. And when I went to, say, Australia, for example, they've got a beer known as Victoria's Bitter, which literally is a beer that's as bitter can get, and they go crazy for this shit.
Actually,
blows me away.
In London, I learned...
Let's take a second to recognize the fact that if you actually want to start enjoying beers in the first place, most people don't enjoy beer upon first experience. That's normal. That's acceptable. There is a sense of Stockholm syndrome that you get trying to enjoy beers. But when you get into things that are that bitter or that hoppy like IPAs, there's a line you're crossing of you're no longer just enjoying a beer, you're... just challenging yourself and seeing what you can stand, and that's not beer enjoyment to me.
I personally like there's like I said, IPA doesn't have to be super bitter. A good IPA has a pleasant amount of bitter, you know. It's not like, but some breweries really think like the bitter the better, you know. And that's not a thing. That's not my opinion. No, don't make it too bitter. Make it fruity, make it like really fruity, and give me some fascinating taste, you know, something that I maybe haven't tasted so far. And then, I mean, I had an IPA that the name was something with parrot, and it really tasted like orange juice with a bit of pep, you know.
Right.
And it was really good. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, that was a German word. But, it was a kick. I wanted to say kick. Orange juice with a kick. And with, of course, sparkling, because beer is sparkling. You learn you learn something new every day, right? And, sure. You just have to be open to it and try new IPAs, and then maybe you find something good.
I don't know what it is about sparkling, but... it's never really tasted good to me, sparkling. It's just, I don't know why. anything sparkling just doesn't taste that good to me.
I mean, if you just get like some soda water and some orange juice, that's delicious on its own.
That's a Schorle.
Sure.
In Germany, yeah.
Okay.
You can you can mix soda water with every juice and it's great.
With what?
You can mix soda water with every juice. Juice, like the drink.
Right.
Liquid made from fruits, not the other juice.
Wow.
That just happened.
I mean, I guess if you're... I mean, yeah, that really did. So we're just going to pretend it didn't. So I guess that's how they make grape juice? Is it sparkling with grape?
That's
is that what you're
exactly
saying?
Exactly it. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I guess that's okay. But yeah, people have given me like, oh, here, have some sparkling water. And I've tried it, and I'm like, this is horrible. Why would anyone drink this?
Don't ask the German, because sparkling water is our thing. I'm always drinking sparkling water. I don't like the not sparkling water. I'm like, hey, I can drink it from the tap because our water quality is good enough here. So yeah, I don't need it bottled for an expensive price.
Yeah, but they've got machines now you can get that can turn your tap water and make it sparkling too.
That's so 90s.
Wow.
In Germany we had it in the 90s soda club and all the other stuff. You can mix it with syrup and make your own cheap tasting soda.
Wow.
Yeah, it tastes like cheap soda if you do that.
Well, you know, some people are on a budget. So what do? You buy it in bottles?
I'm buying bottles of sparkled water, yeah. But I would also, I want to have a soda stream or something, or a soda club. They have different names. That would be way easier for me, but it's a bit expensive in the... you have to buy some kind of gas bottle for it with the CO2 in it. And this costs a lot of deposit, and yeah, it's just not feasible at the moment for me. But I eventually will buy such a machine, because sparkling water.
So, question, do we have a topic or subject this week?
Yeah, we have. And today we are generally talking about art with the focus on drawn art, like... We have a lot of amazing artists, and I think it's about time to talk about those people, what they are doing, how art works, what art is, stuff like that, you know. Okay. We're going into art today.
Cool. Well, should we, you know, actually do the intro?
Yes, we should.
No, today no intro. Today no intro. It's art. This show today is art.
This is not freeform art. We're not doing that.
So we're going to do the intro as the outro, and the outro as the intro.
We hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Okay, let's do the intro, but in an artistic way.
This is episode 37. I'm Core.
That's not artistic.
My co-hosts are incapable of following standardization format.
I'm Cor. I'm Fleeks, and I am Rico Suave, also known as Storm Griffin.
Oh, do you want to say you're like all of us at the same time?
There's a DJ at the club I used to work at who went by Rico Suave, and he was like the biggest tool in the world.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Well, thanks, Cor. I appreciate you acknowledging that I have the biggest tool in the world. It is a great honor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no. Anyways. So, art. We're talking about art.
We're talking about art right now. Yeah. Art.
Okay.
I have a lot of it, and I love it.
I am incapable of making it.
I'm kind of capable of making it. I'm doing that, those advertisement style things, and I'm a huge fan of, I don't know how to pronounce it because it's French, but Art Nouveau. I think Art Nouveau is pretty much the right thing to pronounce.
Art Nouveau? What? Noir?
Art Nouveau.
Oh,
Nouveau.
Like dark. Like a...
Nouveau. No, not noir. Let me see how to pronounce it.
It's like he's trying to communicate with us. I don't understand.
Translate.google.de.
Oh my god.
Nuevo?
Nuevo, I'm not sure. I can't speak French.
That was Spanish, but yes.
It means new art. It isn't really new, but... Nouveau. Art Nouveau.
Ah, okay. And so Nuevo, new, basically new art. Like a new...
Viao.
Oh,
new Viao.
Yeah. Yes, we understand what you mean. What are you talking about as far as the Nouveau
and Art Deco, all the vintage art. I should just have said like vintage ad art.
Okay.
And yeah, people can see my art at artofleaks.tumblr.com, and then they see what I mean. And I also really love pixel art because it's not easy, but it's really challenging, but the outcomes are mostly like, yeah, lovable.
I think you lovable. Do very good. You do very good with your unique take on art, Fleeks, and I do especially like your pixel art as well as your propaganda posters. I think you really have managed to pull those off quite well.
I enjoy old the hell school out of those is my propaganda thing. Posters.
Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome. And speaking of art in general, what do you like about art the most? I mean, is it just the image? Is it seeing your character get
drawn?
That is
the most esoteric question I have heard in a very long time.
No, seriously.
Yeah, Cor. Let's start off with Cor. What do you what do you like about art the most?
It's pretty. It makes me feel good inside.
I ask a soul-searching, deep question, and Cor responds with, hey, it's pretty.
What kind?
I said it's pretty and makes me feel good inside.
But what exactly is pretty for you in art? What exactly makes you feel good inside?
Okay, so if we're actually Which talking component? About like specific like things that I enjoy about art, I enjoy things that have like a bolder color, like a very, very contrasting color. I enjoy... You can't just pin one specific thing. Like, I enjoy gothic. Like, I enjoy steampunk. I enjoy, like, a lot of various styles and various different things. I also enjoy things that inject a lot of color into it. That kind of stuff. I don't know. One of you demonstrate how I'm supposed to talk about this shit.
Easily. Okay. The thing I enjoy about art, number one, is porn. But getting the obvious out of the way for a moment, the thing I enjoy about art the most, actually, is I enjoy the emotion that a good piece of art will cause you to experience.
In your penis.
When
he started asshole, off with porn, I had to say that much. Anyways, okay.
Well, of course, hey, lust is an emotion. Penises. Lust and horniness is an emotion.
It's also a seven deadly sin.
But. You know, good art not only can cause you to get a hard on, but it can literally, if you look at an image, they say a good piece of art can be, a picture can be worth 1,000 words. And I feel a good piece of art's the same way. You can stare at an image and it transports you into the world of that image. Into you could see your character there. You can experience with the way the artist portrayed it. And great art has no set emotion. Like I could view it one way, you can view it another, Cor could view it differently. That's the kind of art I personally like the most.
So you practically say you like it when art gives you an emotional boner, practically.
Yes.
Okay, so we're back on boners.
That's about, yeah, yeah. I had to bring the boner in again.
Yes, yes, sorry. Totally. Totally. Well, I love emotional hard-ons. I'm sorry.
For me,
I can't help it.
For me, art is a very sophisticated way, like, to depict something of your emotion or of your feelings or of something you have inside that you can't phrase in words, but you somehow can, like, yeah, you can make art and explain it with pictures and forms and like a lot of people vent with art, like they feel bad, and to get like their emotions from the chest, and this, I don't, everybody of us was probably already sad and depressed and felt anxious or something, and you know how like how heavy that is on your chest, and a lot of artists manage it to get it from the chest through art, like expressing their inner feelings. And I really have to admit that mostly like band art, if I do band art, for example, it's like the best art I do because it's personal, because it's, you know, it's not,
it's something emotional and close to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I put like, I don't even put a thought in it. And maybe I just do it for me to get something off my chest or something. And that's mostly stuff I do not publish.
Right.
And that's mostly like really my best art. So like I think like, oh, I wish I could do that with unpersonal art, like with commissions and something. Yeah. So what I wanted to say is art is some kind of, it sounds a bit cheesy, but language, you know, like where artists express themselves. And if you feel like, hey, this artist expresses itself, that it has a meaning, they put their soul into it. That's like, for me, the best art.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you talk about art, by the way.
Sure. Okay. I guess if I'm supposed to expand upon it somehow beyond it's pretty and makes me feel good inside, then what classifies as art to me is something that you can see and you can visualize the artists themselves having put effort into. You can have a, you know, 5-year-old who draws with crayons and it's considered art. You know, your parents are really proud, but you know, it's a 5-year-old drawing with crayons. That's art in a very loose form, but you see someone who pours thousands of hours into a painting and is meticulous about every little detail, and then you look at that alone, just the fact that you can see that and see that someone poured so much of their life into just this one solid piece of work in front of you, that on its own causes an emotional response. And then, you know, whatever's being depicted in that circumstance is, again, very individual and personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, what I wanted to say, you mentioned children, yeah. And I'll be honest, sometimes I wish I could draw like a child, because children, like when they draw, they don't give a fuck about anatomy, about if it's looking good, about if, you know, and mostly some children. Some children I met, like when they draw, or my little brothers, for example, they did such a good job. It looked so great. It wasn't anatomically perfect. It wasn't like anything, but they managed to depict something that was like visually pleasant, you know. And I was like, wow! I wish I could like replicate that feeling that I get when I'm looking at this kind of art, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
Why don't we actually start off with, you know, some of our favorite art styles? Like, what hits home most to us? You know, is it paintings? Is it digital art? Is it photography? Is it chainsaw sculptures in wood? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, for me, myself, like I already mentioned it, art deco, art, I have to, give me a second, I don't want to Art Nouveau, Art Deco, all this vintage art stuff. And
you're going to have to explain to us what Deco and Nouveau is, as far as, you know, like...
How do I explain that?
Visually.
Give me a second. Give me a second. So, for example, Art Nouveau was like a pretty international style of art that was applied to like architecture and a lot of advertisement. Do you know? It was so popular in the early 1900s. And you see a lot of old cigarette advertisement in Art Nouveau and Art Deco. Flourishes. Art Nouveau has a lot of those flourishes, squiggles, the curly Q, you know. Those ornamental spirals, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm on board.
You know what I mean? ornamental spirals and stuff. And there is an artist called Mucha, or I don't know how to pronounce his name, that did a lot of this stuff. And Art Deco is that what BioShock has? BioShock is very close.
Okay, so mid-century kind of stuff.
Art Deco.
A little bit post, I want to say, like, Fallout era, but still kind of in that mid-century, you know, almost rustic sort of way.
Yeah, practically classic advertisements. I can send you an example of
not unlike
art.
Your propaganda posters.
My propaganda posters are more kept in really an old Soviet propaganda style.
Fair enough.
But that's also what I enjoy. I really love to try new stuff on my own art. And I want to say something else, but now it slipped off my mind. I mainly like vintage art. And what I also love is all the stuff. You know, this hipster culture has a very pleasant design, I think. They have very simple stuff. And if you look at coffee shops nowadays, you'd often see that design that's like kept in either wood colors or darker colors with white logos on it.
So what I'm learning from this here is Fleeks is hipster, confirmed.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
Kind of.
A metalhead hipster. You never thought you'd see the day. But here it is.
Hey.
Well, really. it's on my mind for when I think about art to me and how Storm evolved into how you seem artistically represented, there's a few artists that really pop to me, and that is it all started with an artist named Glenn Skunk, also known as Glenn Darlington. You can look him up on FA. He's the one that drew the first version of Storm. He's gotten really good at his work in anatomy, and he also has this interesting niche for heart porn, if anyone's into that. He's done some really good stuff. Heart porn, literally. He likes drawing, if you know your character's working out or something and your heart's thumping in your chest, he likes drawing that sort of stuff where you can see the heart bulging out because the character's working out or running or having intimate relations. Yeah, it's a niche I've never seen before, but he really is into it and he draws it quite well. But he's the one that drew my first character, first Storm 1.0, if you will. The artist that helped make Storm into what he is today, that is incredibly talented, is known as Nexus on FA. He has actually started making comics, and he and his team there really crank out high-quality stuff. But if you go through my art gallery on FA, under the handle Storm Griffin, you'll see most of my earlier works are from him. I have experienced a ton of great artists. Foxra is a new and upcoming artist that's really gifted, extremely high detailed. And my favorite of all time, though, that I love commissioning the most, is from an artist known as Nomax. And to answer Fleeks' question, and or maybe it was Cora's question about what my favorite style of art is. It would have to be semi-realism, or realism with a slight hint of cartoony, because my character Storm, when he's portrayed in a realistic fashion, he really commands this sense of
what real world artist best represents that realism with a slight amount of animation.
It would have to be Nomax. The other artists do their own thing in a very good way. But Nomax, if you see any picture of Storm drawn by Nomax, you can really see just the intricate details captured by the artist, the facial expression involving the beak, how Storm's wings set, how he poses my character in a room or a given space or a given action. And it just, it looks like you can put your hand in the screen and touch it because it's so real. Yet you can tell that there's a slight hint of cartoonism in the sense of how certain things are proportioned, so that way the character actually fits into the role he's supposed to be doing in a given picture. So whenever I look at an image from him, it's like I'm watching a movie in a way. You can just sit there and watch the image and it transports you into that scene. Other artists can do that as well, but Nomax, from my character, due to the intricate details, the lighting, everything, just especially the out of this world backgrounds that he does, really takes things and goes the extra mile for me.
Nice.
Huh. How about you, Fleeks? What is your preferred art style, and I guess who would be a really good example of that?
Oh, if you're going to furry art, because
furry,
I explained
real world doesn't matter.
Yeah, I explained already that I love this art duo and stuff a lot, and Art Deco and so on. But mainly, if I have to sum it up, what I like generally on art, it's design, like what a media designer do, like logos. There's so much good design and prints, like printing art. Like, I'm not talking about whatever you print in your university or on your printer at home. I mean, like,
right,
really, really, really professional prints with like a certain font. And I am especially a fan of t-shirt design, like you may have noticed.
And which is why Fleeks always kicks our ass in TKO when we play. True story.
Hey, you know, to touch on what you're saying, Fleeks, there is an art in itself to good t-shirt design, because you don't want the shirt to be too busy or too boring, and the shirts he's designed really fit in that nice niche where they're nice to look at, if that makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to make that. I'm doing furry shirts, let's say like this, but my goal is to make it not furry shirts, you know, like make it something that also somebody who doesn't do like furries or doesn't do furry art or that isn't involved in the fandom does like. I think I fucked the grammar up right now, but yeah. And yeah, my goal is to make simple designs that you can wear everywhere, even outside of cons, you know. That's my goal, because a lot of con shirts you get at cons, or a lot of furry shirts you get with like those vixen that have like gigantic breeze tits, you know. That's nothing okay. You really would like to work in university or when you go outside, but a beer label on your shirt with a fox on it, a feral fox or something like that, that's something you can wear in every situation, except maybe you're working in a bank or something, then you should.
Sure.
Or something else.
Or specifically, yeah, like the bird life, or yeah, the bird crew shirts.
Absolutely.
You can pretty much wear those anywhere.
Yeah, you like you only express, hey, I like birds. What is bird crew? The normie doesn't know what bird crew is.
And
so
they're both
if they would know. Oh, thank you.
Literally, if I'm in an area where I think the people might be you know, heavily anti-furry or alternative lifestyle. I'll just say I love bird watching and I support avian charities.
No, there no, you, go. You gotta say it like Ed from Ed, Edd n Eddy. I like birds.
Oh, I like birds.
God. But you also asked me for my favorite artist, and I really have my favorite. My favorite non-furry artist is, I forgot his name. What the hell? Sorry, that's life. Dan Mumford. Dan Mumford does a lot of metal band shirts that are not really cliche metal band. You can just look it up on Google. Yeah, that's a searching engine on the internet if you don't know it. And two of my favorite. If you're looking at all the all the furry artists, I really like Core. I don't know how she's pronounced.
K-O-O-R. Not me. Not associated with me. I'm not an artist. I suck at art.
the one who does Ideal Bird.
Who does what?
Ideal Bird.
I have no idea.
Me neither.
You don't know Ideal Bird?
Nope.
Oh my god, that's that yellow bird. There's a sticker pack on.
Oh,
I can't believe.
The orangish bird?
Core is her name. It's the artist's name. And they do. Yeah, they have this yellow bird. They made it's a very tiny yellow bird, and they even made an Dakimakura out of it. I will send it to you in the bird. Yeah, right, exactly that. It's orangey. Yeah, I had the yellow and yeah.
Oh, ideal, exactly ideal. Okay.
Ideal. Yeah, I am a silly German. I can pronounce things.
You're adorable. Never change.
Like Drew Bird, this old sad. As he described me, he has incredible hair and he says words good. Well,
he says words good. Okay.
Yeah, I put that in my biography on Twitter because I loved his sentence. So what I want to say, they are core. They have such. I kind of like those dirty art styles that some artists have, like
dirty art styles.
Not very clean. Dirty. Like
are you talking
dirty
about
lines?
Right, on dirty line, like it's unrefined almost.
Where there's sketchiness to it. Yeah.
Exactly, and if they do it well, that's so great. Like for example, Ding has the two. That's my second artist I want to mention. Bombard. Bombard really has a very neat art style. Not the cleanest lines, not the cleanest lines, but it looks so great. I really love that. Those very raw. It's very raw art, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
I can see that.
I even like it more than a lot of epic, like the super arts you can get posters of. The 1,000 super impressive dragon poster you get, and that every second Yao's boy has hanging in their room, you know?
No, you've lost us again. At least me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those cliché dragon posters and those cliché gothic posters and stuff?
I think I know what you're getting at, yeah.
They are technically wonderful, right? Like, perfect. But somehow that's boring to me, you know?
Okay.
Because they're too perfect, too clean, too realistic. I don't know. I like it if they are kind of, I don't know.
You like it if there's some element of fantasy to it where it's not so like, oh, this could be a real thing.
I don't like photorealistic art. That's what I wanted to say, I guess.
Okay.
It's too perfect, you know. That's I can't really describe it. So that's why I love artists that don't do super realistic style, even if they.
Why is that? Why don't you like photorealistic style art? Because what turns off about
it? It's kind of sterile, you know.
So you want know, there to be almost a degree of imperfection or fantasy?
Yeah, imperfection. Not fantasy. I don't know how you coming to fantasy right now. I mean, yeah, imperfection. Like if you see a bit of the sketch lines, or if you don't do like realistic anatomy, like I said, my example, a car does. Like you don't give a lot of fuck about the anatomy, but that it looks like badass, or that it looks like I can't explain it because I don't even know how to reproduce that, you know, as an artist.
Okay, fair enough.
We are talking about art. It's very complicated. It's
no, it is.
Yeah, art
it
over
is.
An art over a audio medium is kind of
yeah. I see what you mean.
We're trying. We're trying our best. Okay, just stick with us.
But I am actually agree with Fleeks here a little bit, in that. If an artist takes the painstaking time to draw something that when they're done looks photo quality, like you could have taken a picture with it, it's like, wow, that's beautiful. But it to me, it doesn't carry the same power as if there is perhaps a little bit of imperfection to make it look like, wow, this was actually drawn by a human, which makes this even more spectacular.
Yeah,
I can't even explain what I like so much on it, but I like kind of sketchy art. The meaning of sketchy, like sketch, not, you know, sketchy art. Like
this artist is also going to sell you drugs. That's a whole different type of sketchy, kids.
Yeah. That's sketchy art from around the corner.
Yes. Going to the back alley of the ghetto to get your latest commission. That is
to get my sketchy art from my sketchy art.
I need my
art,
fix, you know? Man. I need it. I need it so bad.
Oh yeah, bird art. Oh, God, perfect for me. Oh. And then you consume it.
What's that? I slip you a few joints and you'll hook me up with some griffin porn? Hell yeah.
Actually, that brings
me to
something.
Only a couple joints? That's a deal.
I know.
Do you know how much money I would have saved by now had just a couple of joints been enough to pay for what I've purchased?
Oh, me too. I could have bought another house. Good lord.
So, Core, what is your favorite artist and art style thing? The same question. I return the same question to you, practically.
Okay. So my favorite style, my favorite format of art is photography. I've always adored, especially nature photography. So Ansel Adams was kind of like my idol in high school. He is probably one of the first people to stop pointing the camera at people for portraits and family portraits and that kind of stuff way back in the day. And he started, taking photos of nature, just raw photos, unaltered, just of landscapes, scenescapes, macro, micro, just whole panoramas. I have I think I have 3 books featuring like all of his different like photography styles, and he was someone I really tried to emulate in high school as far as artistic passions go. Unfortunately, photography is not really a hobby that like you can really keep up with, because one, you're paying for $1,000 cameras every 3 or 4 years, and there's not really a market for photography in that essence, unless you want to sell like stock photos, and then you're getting pennies for what your work is actually worth.
I myself am not very interested in that mainstream photography, but a friend of mine from Berlin, KB is their name. You find them as Checkalized on Twitter. And they are buying old Leica cams, like black-white cams, and really old cameras, and shooting photos with them, with old films and stuff. Really, like, the films practically ripened over 10 or 20 years, and it looks so amazing, real black-white photography, not digital.
Nice.
And it really has something to it, and they are just photographing, like, scenes in Berlin, like they did an amazing picture of two people hugging in an underground station, and it was amazing. It looked amazing, and they even do their photos. They developed their film by themselves. They have a laboratory at home.
The Develope is not unlike the Jackalope. Two completely different species.
Developed.
I gotta poke you every now and again for that accent.
To develop something.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, well, what do you think about photography... Storm May.
What do I think about photography? I think photography, straight photography, is actually a beautiful art in itself, because it's a skill that if you're going to do photography, it takes time to learn. It takes time to get the right equipment, though I've seen absolutely gorgeous pictures get taken by just a cell phone camera these days. And it's something I really enjoy doing myself, though you won't see me dropping 50 grand or more on a camera. It's just, I think that's a little extreme. But good photography, good images are breathtaking. And right now, my desktop background on my computer is a image of Yosemite National Park that someone took with their camera and the right equipment. It came out spectacular. So like drawn images or digital artwork, photography can be just as powerful, if not more so, because it allows you to capture a moment in time in perfect clarity. Think about all the war pictures and such that were taken during that time that we can go to a museum and see today and still feel the emotion of those people living that moment.
Yeah, beautiful. I agree. Thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing to capture memories. I agree. But photographers have the problem to really get to their fan base. They really need to shoot incredible photos and give me a second, I need a word again.
War photography is definitely, I mean, if you are truly like in it for some profit, like you want to make a living, war photography is what you do. And it's kind of the unfortunate statement of it. If you're just out, and I mean, there are, like you said, Storm, amazing photos of places like Yosemite National Park, their great redwoods, stuff like that. You're unfortunately just not going to be able to make that kind of money. Now, you did mention cameras on phones these days are getting massively impressive, and they really are. You guys are still there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, it just went really quiet. But cameras on phones these days, part of the reason, one of the big things I look for in phones is a really good camera. Part of the reason I went with the LG V20 is because it has both a normal camera and then a wide angle camera built into it, and they're phenomenal. Both cameras are just perfect.
Did you know, Core, that the commercial they made for the V20 was filmed on a V20?
Yep.
It really is that good of a camera.
Absolutely. They actually did that kind of in response to the iPhone 7? Was it the 7? I think it was the 7 that came out, that they did the same thing with the most of those commercials as well. And there was a whole movie that was released using an iPhone 7 as the camera. That's just a testament to how good this compact technology is.
Mm. And of course, there are camera evangelists that snub their nose at cell phone cameras and to you, I say, you know, hey, whatever works for you, but the fact of the matter is ever since cell phone technology has gotten where it is today, pretty much everyone now is an amateur photographer if they want to be. And we've seen things in the news and seen things online that were only able to be captured because someone literally can just pull a great camera out of their pocket and snap a picture of it.
And we have come to rely on that. We've come to rely on that technology simply because, like, kind of the whole whistleblowing culture in American society right now. You see something going wrong, you see a police officer doing something wrong, you take a picture, you report it, you get it out there, you get it up live before they can tell you to take it down and confiscate your phone from you.
Bingo.
Yep.
Bingo. And, you know, there are places like Chicago where filming the police is heavily frowned upon, and the police actually will say something to you.
And it's unfortunate that it's gotten to that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But then again, under the flip side of that, you know, police officers now are wearing, in many jurisdictions, body cameras themselves. So when they're out and about, they hit a button and everything they do is being recorded. So, you can see it from both sides.
Everything is supposed to be recorded with the body cams. They are not supposed to deactivate or turn off the body cams because it's an accountability thing. Unfortunately, the issue is oftentimes these police officers will find themselves in a compromising situation, so they will unplug it. Sometimes that compromising situation isn't necessarily an illegal situation, something they're doing, but, you know, maybe someone they're working with is divulging some very sensitive information that they don't want on public record, because that's another thing about the body cams is they are... Actually, I don't know if they are technically within public record domain or not, but they are accessible to people who you may not want certain, like, things getting known.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then the same goes with not just body cams, but with cameras in general. You know, the things we're taking photos of, the things some artists are even drawing using traditional means can be quite controversial. Can, you know, cause an uproar. Some art that is created really upsets some people. But regardless of that, it just goes to further reinforce my original statement about art, which is that I love the emotion of it. And it gets people talking, whether it's a beautiful piece of art or something that depicts, you know, let's say a child being enslaved in a third world country, which is a horrible thing. Whatever it may be. Art causes us to take a moment to pause and reflect and analyze what we see. And it is as much a part of our society as in our daily life, in my opinion, as getting up and eating a sandwich or sleeping. We live and breathe art everywhere. It's just whether or not we realize it's art at that moment.
Exactly. So, I mean, we live in a world where, you know, it's not all standardized. It's not all, you know, one and the same cookie cutter everything. Architecture is, like, probably the most prominent form of art. Nobody who sits down and builds a building wants it to be boring. Even the government buildings, who they try to standardize everything and make everything, you know, shapely. Even the architecture of many of the government buildings is very unique in that style, and they have a certain atmosphere that they need to portray. And architects have to figure out how to portray that emotion that they want out. Even if that emotion is, get off our property, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, as some of you who follow my Twitter know, I road tripped all the way to Idaho and back for work purposes, and on the way back, I went through North Dakota and then stopped just outside of Minneapolis, and literally my hotel was right next to an FBI building, which looked, it was a very new building, but it had this look of this government compound of where, you know, it caught your attention. It was a very authoritarian design. You felt as if you were being watched, and you probably were, and to stay the fuck away from me unless you're supposed to be here, because of the steel plating on the building, because of the iron bars around it, because of the cameras.
And you know why they do the steel plates and the iron bars is because of that the bombing incident that took place a number of years ago, where someone drove a semi-truck up next to a government building and demolished an entire side of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very imposing thing to look at, but they still try to make it look, you know, visually astounding in some methodology.
Well, I mean, it was well landscaped, and the building itself definitely was a beautiful authoritarian because the way they angled the glass caused the sun to reflect off it in a very pretty way. But this was a very imposing building, and really reminded me in some ways of, say, the new World Trade Center building in New York City. Whereas if you look at it, it's absolutely breathtaking, all the little detail they did to it. But when you get up close to it, you really can see all of the security measures they built into this thing to make it essentially a mini Fort Knox.
Fort Knox is no longer the Fort Knox of Fort Knoxes.
No, it's not. All right, so it's question time on Bird.life, and as you guys know, this is my favorite part of the show because we get to hear from crazy-ass people like you. So the
crazy-ass adorable.
Crazy-ass
right.
Adorable,
right. Crazy-ass squawkalicious.
Yeah, hello, dear listener. Are you a good bird? Are you a good bird? Are you a good bird?
And now we're just defending and ostracizing our audience. Good job. We're professionals.
Hey. We're the most professional podcast you can find on the internet.
Guaranteed. So, what was our topic today? Sausages?
Yes. And sure. I have a big
okay.
one.
Uh-huh. And your question topic, I guess.
The first question we have comes from Thanos Acosta, and the question is, what is art?
Oh, for the love of God, no.
Give me a second. Wikipedia.com.
Well, while Fleeks is doing that, my opinion of what the answer should be is art is everything. Art is life. It really is. Everything we do in some way, shape, or form can be considered art, depending on how you view it.
Merriam-Webster, the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in visual forms such as painting or sculpture, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty and emotional power. Definition number two, the various branches of creative activity such as painting, music, literature, and dance.
Yeah.
So welcome to the also, just fucking Google it section of the podcast.
Also,
because art, no.
Art is a small town in the United States, Indiana, in Texas, and in...
Sweetheart, it's Indiana. I'm from Indiana. It's my home. It's not India.
Okay, so what we need to do is go to the town of Art and take a picture and post online and just label it Art.
Actually, Art in Texas is unincorporated. It's just a community. Probably some... I don't know. What does mean incorporated, unincorporated community?
It means it's a small town that doesn't have a formal government.
Oh, like those Mormon communities in Utah.
No, completely different. Those are just straight up illegal.
Yeah, basically, if you're too small of a town to have a tax base that would support a city or town government, then you're considered unincorporated, and you just get your services from the county government. It's just how they do it over here.
Basically, yeah.
Also, by the way, there's a band called Art. Then you have Art Play, I don't know what it is, and even a male name called Art exists, so now you know.
Okay, next question comes from Siba Cap Douglas. Question is, can food be art?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Cooking is fucking art. We don't even need to talk about it. If you're doing it as art, I mean, if you're putting as... a can of ravioli in yeah, you know where I want to
don't,
go.
Don't
with
put
that.
A can
That's
of ravioli
not art.
In your microwave. That's just not going to end well for anybody.
Yeah.
Hey,
I have doctored me up.
I have doctored me up some ravioli.
But don't put the can in the microwave.
Yeah, no, no, no. The can will blow up the microwave. Yes, food is fucking art. It absolutely is art. It's tasty art, and it's one of my favorite kinds of art, especially when I'm hungry.
I mean, if you're looking at like art, like foods from star cooks, like really prominent cooks, then they always decorate it and
They put garnishments on it. They make it look special. I think there's two elements to food art. One is the visual aspect, and two is the skill and flavor profile of it. And
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, the profile of the flavor is more important to me.
You can give me something that looks like shit, but if it tastes good, I like it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, I mean, combining flavors is practically art, and a lot of every cook, I think every prominent cook, every famous cook has like their own style, and that's something art needs, styles, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Okay.
All right, next question.
Next question comes from Drezel Serverwing, that sexy bastard. The question is,
why is that name so familiar?
I know. I don't know. I have no fucking idea. The question is, are video games considered art? Good question, Drezel. What do you guys think?
Yes. Again, absolutely. So, modern video games are definitely a very powerful form of expression. Yeah. In the past, I don't think so as much. Kind of like the difference between like a 5-year-old's drawing and, you know, someone who's been painting all their life.
Yeah.
But that's just more of the aspect of, you know, what we were capable of the time. Galaga and the original Super Mario Bros., games like that, I probably wouldn't classify as art, just pure entertainment. But you play games like Soma. That's probably my best go-to example. There is a lot of demonstration of the human condition. There's a lot of demonstration of what we're capable of as humans. There's a lot of demonstration of just emotional power in that game alone. That on its own would classify it as art.
Yeah, there is actually one PlayStation 1 game. I forgot the name. But it's like it's called LSD.
Trippy.
Google for it. Look it on YouTube. It's exactly what you expect from the name. This game makes no sense. It's pure art, I guess for some, it's considered as art from a lot of people. And the guy programmed it, and it's disturbing and flashy and. It looks really trashy, but it's so like, if you're looking at it, you can't look away because you're always like, what the heck? Is this a video game? Is this what?
And which game is this?
Look it up on YouTube. LSD. Look it up on YouTube. LSD for PlayStation 1.
Okay.
And then you know what I consider art in video games. I don't even know what the fuck this is. But I think that's art.
Well, I think video games and programming video games and the creation of video games is an art form. I absolutely believe it's an art form. And some of the classic titles for me, such as, you know, Mario Brothers and whatnot, just not only is it stuff that I'll remember from growing up and playing, but the images, how they created the graphics with such limited memory. They really had to get creative there, and that definitely shows their artistic skills.
Okay, yes, I am totally going to agree with that. For games, like, you know, the old Mario Kart, if you were to if you could see the coding and see like all the little creative tweaks and loopholes they had to do just to be able to fit everything to how limited of capacity those storage devices had, that is incredible. Just absolutely incredible. Like, you could take Super Metroid for the Super Nintendo, for example. I think the data on that cartridge, that entire game was under 8 megabytes. And that just, you know, I have porn of Core Raven that is more than 8 megabytes. It's just unbelievable to me that that was a capability that we had back in the time. It's mind-blowing. So you're right, Storm. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And then the limited color palettes and stuff. Yeah, that's really a thing. Like, try to make a sunset with only 16 colors. Try to make that. That's really wow.
And yet they did an amazing job of that in Yoshi's Island.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And you know what? When you're busy playing those systems, you didn't care. It looked amazing at the time. Yep. Because back then, people focused more on gameplay. And that's something I wish people would go back to.
Yeah, let's go back to 8 bits.
So, what exactly do you mean by that, Storm? Like, as far as focusing on gameplay?
Well, what I mean by that is that I think video games today, many of them are focused so much on graphics and amazing image quality and immersion in the world from said graphics that the programmers and development teams forgot what it was like to actually make a fun game. And
is there a game you have in mind when you're thinking about this? Because I'm inclined to disagree.
Well, I'm referring mainly to console gaming. But if you want to disagree, that's totally fine. In my opinion, though, if you look at the major hits on the classic systems and the severe limitations they had to work within, the teams had to focus mainly on gameplay and storytelling. Whereas now, because memory is essentially not really much of an issue anymore, they kind of can just bloat the fuck out of the game as much as they want. And, oh, by the way, we're supposed to actually make this a game that you're, you know, able to play in addition to, you know, having a torpedo that sends flying electric guitars everywhere when it hits a building or something silly like that.
That would not surprise me if that was in the Saints Row games. No, I get what you're saying. Okay, I do understand what you're saying. There are games that are gigabytes and gigabytes. Like, I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is now up to 80 some odd gigabytes for the whole entire game. But at the same time, you know, there are games like Grand Theft Auto that have an incredible and powerful storyline. But then they also have the just dick around and blow everybody up online aspect to it.
Right.
There are games that, you know, a lot. It's kind of sad when you have to think of, like, the indie developers are making the classic style games with the storylines that we like. But it's not just limited to the indie developers. It's just that they usually have to make an appeal to their audience. So their stories are a little more emotionally based, while games like Grand Theft Auto or the Payday games, they're more of a cinematic movie style kind of thing. Like, you're playing a movie instead of reading a book, I guess would be the best.
Well, like the game, you know, the snake, all those games were pretty much like playing through a movie, which can be very fun too. It can, if done right.
It's true.
I mean, you said Super Metroid, and I think this was still, it aged so well, and it's still like,
God, yeah, I'm playing through it on the Super Nintendo now, and I'm just mind blown by it.
It's so playable. It's great to handle. I don't know. A lot of modern games don't have such a good gameplay. So I guess that's some aspect. But yeah, can we continue to other questions? Because every
you're
time
right, sorry,
we're talking about video games,
hey,
we are getting
Yeah.
We saw this coming. We knew it was going to happen.
So, quick question for you guys then. And this comes from yours truly, just real quick. Since we're talking about what is art and what is not, Birdemic, the movie, is that actually
no.
art?
No. Okay, if we're qualifying that as art, that's, again, the five-year-old drawing on paper art.
Actually, no. I think Birdemic was intended to be art, but it's
just it's shortcoming, like shortfall know. After shortfall after just suckiness.
It sucks. That movie sucks, really. I mean,
it's bad. I mean,
it was
bad
entertaining.
Art,
it
art.
Was entertaining.
It's still shit.
But again, it's the five-year-old drawing with crayons on paper art.
Don't insult my. Don't insult 5 years old.
Oh God! And all our five-year-olds everywhere are complaining and going to write to us.
But it, I have to say, it contains.
I
birds,
hope to God we don't have five-year-olds listening to this show.
Actually, if you do, send your message to beep at bird.life. Attention,
no,
core
no,
sucks.
No.
Actually, that comparison isn't too bad because try to think back when you were 5 years old. What did you draw a lot? Birds, I guess. Because those McDonald's M birds, you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't really draw. I played with Legos when I was 5 years old. But anyways.
And you built birds. You built birds, of course.
M-shaped birds out of Legos.
Hey, why not? Eclipse Griffin asks, are you producing art right now by creating this podcast? That is a great question, Eclipse. What do you guys think?
Is this art, what we are doing here?
I think so.
I think there's a lot of effort that goes into it, and I think there's a lot of, personal development, personal emotion that goes into creating this podcast. But it's more for the sake of entertainment than it is, an actual statement, you know?
If you're considering a podcast like we're doing as art, it maybe, I don't
it's
know.
Creative.
Then you have to, it's creative, but you would have to consider a normal talk between friends as art too, I guess, because that's what we're doing. We are talking stuff.
Like, no doubt,
I guess that just...
it's creative. It's just...
Our talk shows, art.
Well, the thing is, guys, if this was just us sitting around a room to have a drink and a beer shooting the shit, sure. It would just be talking. But since we pre-plan the show a little bit, we come up with topics, does editing, Fleeks does producing, I just squawk a lot and flap my wings to get people to listen to it. And when you factor all that in, we're actually putting in a pretty good amount of preparation and refinement into this.
So
because of that,
then,
I would say this is art.
Okay, then...
We put a soul
which would
into
be
it,
more what would be more artistic? What would be more in line with art? Saturday Night Live or Conan O'Brien?
Saturday Night Live, in my opinion, because they do more effort to prepare the skits, but both would still be their own form of art. Art is a very subjective word. It really is. You just can make you can apply it to so many things if you think about it and really take a step back.
Why don't we toss this question back to the listeners? Is what we're doing right now considered art? Would you consider it art?
Tweet us at Bird Life Podcast or email us at beep@bird.life.
There you go.
Okay. So, ready for some couple of general questions?
Let's do it.
Of course.
Okay. All right. The first general question comes from, it's Juco. Question is, so do you think griffins sang while they worked, like the seven dwarfs? My answer would be hell yes. We sing while we do everything, including humping. Of course they would sing.
Yes. I don't know. I think they would like squawking because griffins can talk. You know that.
Griffins can talk? How the hell else would I be in this?
So, I want to say that I think the classic, if you're going to the classic things, I think Griffins couldn't talk in history. I mean, you know, in what we understand of those classical Griffins from the legends. So I think if they did that, they probably more like squawked and chirped and honked.
No, I think they would sing while they're mining, but I think they would also do it in a creative way, such as during the process of mining and the noise you make, and if they're using tools or if they're using their beaks as tools. I think they would do it in a way that makes sort of a pattern or a song through the sound of actually mining.
A whistle.
It would be interesting. Work.
Okay. So basically, at that same time, what we're saying here is griffins are basically the dwarves.
Griffins are a very, very, very gorgeous version of the dwarves. Yes. So, Drezzle Silverwing asks, name the most obscure color you can think of, like magenta instead of red, etc.
Blello.
Magenta isn't red.
Turquoise.
If you say magenta instead of red, you're stupid. No, I'm just kidding. No, but magenta isn't red. Magenta is what Telecom has and stuff. This huge telephone concern, you know. Magenta isn't red. Magenta is more like pink.
For me, the color that I like to think of that's the most off the beaten trail is Tanzanite.
Mauve. That one actually is a color. It's like a it's like a really boring version of reddish purple. Mauve.
If anyone doesn't know what Tanzanite is, it's like a cross between blue and purple.
There's a lot of colors that are called after countries, for example, and stuff. I read into that because of my fascination for design and stuff. There's one color, it's called banana. For example.
Banana.
The color of a ripe banana. The listeners have to guess, I guess. Or how are the rules again? Give me a second. Oh, it's gone. The question is gone. No. I can't read it anymore.
Well, hey, let me ask you this, Fleeks. See if you know. Do you know what color caterpillar is?
Probably a greenish color.
Actually, caterpillar was created by the Caterpillar Company, and it's a special type of yellow that they use in their construction equipment.
Okay.
Here I thought only Crayola was allowed to name colors.
Nope. They literally patented, trademarked, and did everything to this special shade of yellow. Only they can use it.
Nifty.
It's amazing. Yep.
There's a color called Drake's Neck. Drake's Neck. What could that be?
Are we really putting a shade on the rapper's name? The rapper's name.
There's a rapper called Drake.
Wow. There's a rapper called Drake.
Yes, there is. I love you so much right now.
This color has nothing to do with it. It's a Drake's neck is actually the color of the neck of a drake.
What color is Drake's neck? Well, it's kind of a dark brownish.
No, it's a greenish.
Wow, racist.
It's a rich, a very rich green, as far as I know. And Sweden has a color called Falu.
Well, of course Sweden would. Like, Swedish are just, like, pompous and arrogant, and they have to have everything that's their own.
Falu is, like, a copperish red they have on a lot of houses.
Yeah, Sweden's always got weird stuff. But, you know what, nothing wrong with that. Hey, walk to the beat of your own drum. Nothing wrong with that at all. So, you guys ready for your final question?
Yes.
Okay, final question comes from Fidi. Question is, will I make it to Poland and Euroference safely? Maybe you know it. What could happen on my way to my family to Berlin? I want crazy stories. So I'm guessing this would be a Fleeks' territory.
You will fall asleep on the right there, and then you will dream about birds. I can't get more exciting because war will not happen.
Well, right now, so, in the background of Fleeks' audio recording, we're hearing ambulances, so we're guessing something's already happened to you, Feedy. Good luck and Godspeed.
Fleeks has already sent his people after you.
It's actually next to me is the firefighter station, and it's firefighters.
That must suck.
Oh, well, it doesn't happen too often. There isn't much burning here.
At least if you know your house catches on fire, it's totally safe. You don't
need
to worry about
the world's fastest response time. They won't even bother moving the truck. They'll just turn on the pump and walk the hose over. All right, so that concludes question time for this episode.
Questions this time?
Would you rather have turquoise tail feathers or a mauve beak?
Turquoise tail feathers.
What is what? I don't even get. Huh? Turquoise. What is this? But I go with tail feathers.
Just answer the question.
What turquoise, about you, Cole? like the color turquoise.
Turquoise. It's like turquoise, but purple.
Yeah, totally. Why not? Turquoise is one of my favorite colors, so why not?
So he wants turquoise tail feathers. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us.
You have to answer it too,
You
got to
answer it too, Core.
Oh, fine. I'll have turquoise tail feathers as well. I think all three of us agreed on that.
Yeah, that wasn't even a hard choice, really.
No, not really.
Well, what if we flipped it? Would you rather have a turquoise beak or mauve tail feathers?
Find out on next week's episode.
Why not both?
Of Dragon Ball Z. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be kind.
Can't tell.
On the next episode of Bird.Life, Storm's bathroom sounds.
No!
A complete one-hour episode.
No!
Why? No. I don't.
No!
I mean, if it's your passion, I don't know, but I wouldn't like my bathroom sounds to be recorded in any way.
Nope.
I have a full orchestra in my bathroom.
No! Next subject.
So you. I just imagine that you're playing like the piano every time you're using the bathroom. Like,
why is this happening?
Playing ambient.
Yeah, sit on the porcelain throne.
I want to
unsubscribe
from
audience.
This conversation, please. I did not consent to this.